I love the fall colors. I just love the way the fall colors look. I love the crisp, cool weather that shows up in autumn. I don't like the cold weather that shows up in autumn. I like crisp and cool, but I don't like cold. I don't like wearing a coat and a hat and having to think about it when I go outside. I love harvest vegetables. I love the fact that there are no mosquitoes in the autumn. Which is something that we don't think about because it's something that we don't have. I do not like raking up leaves. I don't like the bare, lifeless trees. I like the idea of pumpkin spice, even though I don't like pumpkin spice itself. Some people love football season. Other people are indifferent to football season. Some people don't like the shorter days, but do love the smell of a wood-burning fireplace as you're walking down the street on one of those crisp, cold evenings. Let's all chip in, because there are things that you like or things that you don't like about autumn, and they're different for everybody. So we'll make this interactive. Go ahead and put them in the chat, the things that you love about autumn, the things that you don't like about autumn. And if you like it, put a plus sign in front of it, and if you don't like it, put a minus sign in front of it. Because everybody has their own feelings about it. Yeah. The colorful leaves. Yep, they are beautiful. One of the things that I do in the autumn, and I've been doing this for years now, is when I'm out on a walk or driving around and I see a particularly beautiful tree, I thank it. I thank that tree for this wonderful show of color and for sharing itself in the way that it does. And you know, family time, liking family time, that's got a plus. Not liking the cold. Yep. So these are the things that are coming in from all of us. And everybody has a favorite season. Lots of people have a favorite season. It might be the bounty that comes up in the springtime as we go from that barrenness to the richness of spring as everything buds. And summertime, as it all blossoms and grows, and especially here in the Northeast, just the lushness. There's so much green that it's just that it's a riot of green. When there are other parts of the country where they don't get that much of it, you know, in Arizona, it doesn't get that green because it's the desert. And even in Florida, where it's green all the time, there's not that overabundance of green that comes along in the summertime that we have here. So we all have our favorites. And we all have our unfavorites. Hot chocolate, there we go. Knitting, there, yep, beautiful. Coziness at home, beautiful. And everybody has, we've knitting cozy scarves while drinking hot chocolate. There you go. That's not just fun, that's evocative. With you know, different things that are fitting together. You can really appreciate a warm chocolate chip cookie a lot more when it's cold out than you do in the middle of the summer. Now, they're still good. They're still good even in the middle of the summer, but there's something special when we've got that contrast that's going on. And so for all of us, there's something that we can really like, really enjoy, really take dominion of as the weather turns colder. And there are also some things that we can find to be annoying. We never really think about how the trees feel about autumn. You know, they spent all this time budding those leaves and growing them and using them to activate the chlorophyll and take the sunshine and turn it into tree substance. And now they gotta let them all go. Now they gotta let them all drop off. Can you imagine being a tree and just not wanting to let go, not wanting to surrender? Because there's so much good there. There's so much that comes from the leaves. I mean, it's just the thought of going dormant and having to stay there in the cold all winter long just to start the process over again. Why can't I just be an evergreen and leave the needles on? And of course, when we think about it in terms of the trees, we understand that's the cycle. That's the cycle, because you can't have spring without having winter, and you can't have winter without having fall, and you can't have fall without having summer and spring. And the cycle goes on and on and on and on. I watch the squirrels. My dog really loves watching the squirrels. He thinks that he's going to be able to chase one up a tree someday. It's not going to happen. He might be quick enough to catch one. I hope not, because that just doesn't end nicely. And the squirrels are getting really fat. They're getting really slow. And there's a couple of reasons that that's happening. It's because all the acorns and all the other stuff is available now. So they're eating it and storing it and taking care of it because that's part of the season. And they're going to need it for the wintertime. It's part of the same cycle. It's part of the same thing that goes on and on and on. This week I heard one of the most annoying radio conversations that I've heard in a long time. It was a show about daylight savings time. And there was a sleep expert who was commenting on the fact that, first of all, changing our sleep by an hour is really disruptive for a lot of people. It throws them off and it can cause them to be out of balance for a week or two. I understand. And then there were people who were complaining they don't like the change at all. They just want to have it be daylight savings time all the time. Or they just want to have it be standard time all the time. Because why can't we just decide? And then there's somebody who's calling in and said that they used to live in Hawaii. And it was really nice in Hawaii because they didn't have to change the clocks at all. Linda's in Arizona. They don't change the clocks in Arizona either. And there's another guy who's on the show who was actually an expert who like is a consultant to the government on how to do this. And he was reminding people that in the 1970s, during the energy crisis, I think it was 73, 74, we changed to daylight savings time permanently to save energy. And Congress voted it in for 2 years. And so that first year, daylight savings time kept going all year round. I don't know if anybody remembers this. My younger brother was in elementary school at the time, and he'd have to go out and get on the school bus. It was still dark at 8 o'clock in the morning when he's getting on the school bus. So even though they voted it in for 2 years, it was so unpopular that it was overridden, and they voted to not do it the second year. So they did that for 1 year. So proving that 50 years later, we still haven't learned. There are people who want to do this again. And oh, by the way, it's lovely in Hawaii. But Hawaii is in the tropics. And if you've ever noticed on a globe there, or even on a map, there are those lines, the Tropic of Cancer and the Tropic of Capricorn. Those are actually important because those are the ones where the sun stays overhead all year round. I think the daylight changes by less than an hour over the course of the entire year in Hawaii. We are not inside the tropics. We're up north, and in Philadelphia, in fact, the longest day of the year, which is the summer solstice, we have 15 hours of sunshine. And on the shortest day of the year, which coincidentally is the winter solstice, December 21st, we have 9 hours and 20 minutes of sunlight. So all of these people, the thing that I found so annoying about the conversation is that they were trying to do this with emotion. I like the sun. I like the light staying later in the afternoon. It's like we've only got 9 hours of light. If you have it in the afternoon, you're not going to have it in the morning. It's like a budget. You have to talk about it like it's numbers. And these people were just whining and complaining and ignoring the fact that we tried this once before and it didn't work. So if you would really like to have the benefit of not having the days change, then you can move 3,000 miles off the coast of California to Honolulu, where my friend has lived for 15 years, and have the sun rise and set at pretty much the same time every day. Southern parts of the country, less of a change. If you really want to appreciate the length of daylight that we have here, even in the middle of the winter, move to Alaska. Move up past the Arctic Circle, where it can go dark for months and months and months at a time. And during the summertime, oh, by the way, speaking of sleep disruption, the sun stays up 24 hours in a row, day after day after day, for months. And once you do that, you can appreciate the blessing of the way the seasons change here. As we get into autumn and the days get shorter, we can smell the fires in people's chimneys, we can enjoy pumpkin spice and pumpkin pie and the rest of those things, and we can say thank you to the trees. Because the fact of the matter is, we are always all involved in one of those cycles. There's always something that's going on. When you take a deep breath in order to make that possible, you need to have taken a breath out first. You just try that. Try that right now. Take it just a really shallow breath out, and then try and take a deep breath in on top of it. There's not enough room. There's not enough room to get a deep breath. The depth of your breath is going to be controlled by the depth of your exhale. So we breathe out first and make room and open ourselves and allow. And then that next breath can fill us up and provide us with whatever it is that's required for us to survive and thrive in the next moment. And then, at some point, whatever has been going on with that breath, it gets used up. That breath of fresh air becomes stale and not so helpful anymore, and it's time to breathe out again. And then it's time to breathe in again. And you can go through thinking, how annoying to have to keep on doing this, to have to keep on thinking about this, in and out, and in and out, and in and out, over and over again. And then, of course, we get to notice that even when we're not paying attention to it, our body is doing that automatically. We're going to be breathing, whether we're breathing mindfully and consciously, or if we're just going to be breathing on autopilot. Let that be your reminder. As you're noticing something going on in the seasons, as you're noticing that it's dark in the morning, as you're noticing that you have to put on a hat when you go out of the house, you can notice that there was a time when you didn't have to do that and something else was preferable, and you can be opening up to something that's new. Let yourself be like the trees. Most trees are just so willing and generous to let go of their leaves. And the maple trees are beautiful because they get that riot of color with the orange and the red and the yellow, and then they let the leaves go. Dina wrote a poem a few years ago, just imagining the leaves as they're jumping off the tree singing, "Cannonball!" And doing it with some joy and doing it with some love, because that's always possible. It is always possible to make that choice. It is always possible to complain, to take whatever the circumstance or the situation is and complain about it. Well, the mosquitoes are good for the environment because it's the cycle of whatever it is that mosquitoes could possibly be good for, and you can complain about that. I can't imagine somebody doing that, but you could. I was listening to that radio show. You could complain about anything. So if you need to, then go ahead and get it out of your system. But if you don't need to, embrace the good, embrace the possibility, embrace whatever is new that's coming along as an opportunity or an offer in your life. If you notice something that you like, say thank you. Thank the trees. Thank the smell of the wood-burning fireplace. Be thankful of the fact that when you go to the park, there aren't so many people as there were in the middle of the summer, because they're all staying inside because it's cold. Well, that gives you a little bit more opportunity to enjoy the environment yourself. If there's something that you like, be grateful for it. If there's something that you don't like, let go of it. Because you can. Because otherwise, you just wind up telling the stories about the stuff that you don't like. Turn to the stuff that you like instead. The title of the talk is Autumn Leaves. And I actually described it as, after a spring of sprouting and a summer of blossoming, the plants know that it's time to let go of what served its purpose and allow the cycle to continue. And that we're investigating the way we do the same thing in our lives and the way we often try to resist. But the play on words that came up for me as I was going through all of this and looking at all of your comments coming through is that autumn comes and autumn leaves. And we can be in the cycle, and we always are. So allow yourself to be where you are, open yourself up to joy, and know that this too shall pass. You are a bright light of love. I'm so grateful for you. So it is.